Hello and welcome to the 2018 Locked On Podcast Network NBA Mock Draft. We greatly appreciate you joining us via your cell phone, whether it's on your desktop, whether it's on a run, a bike, a walk, or at work today. We thank you for taking the time to join us for the Locked On Podcast Network 2018 NBA Mock Draft. Each day, we will be releasing six picks over the next 5 days. Today will be picks 1 through 6. And each day at 2 o'clock Eastern, we'll have a Reddit AMA for you on NBA Reddit about the picks with the hosts that made the picks and in an NBA discussion. We'll head into the war room of each team, hosted by the local experts on the biggest stories, those hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network. Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated joins us as our NBA draft expert, breaking down every pick, and Locked On NBA hosts Jake Madison and Josh Lloyd will stop by periodically to evaluate what's taking place in the draft. The Phoenix Suns have the first pick of the NBA draft, and before we head to the Suns war room, let me remind you that every single one of your NBA teams has a Locked On podcast. Subscribe to your favorite team's daily bite-sized podcast via the Locked On Podcast Network. And for all the latest draft news, free agency news, and work at the Locked On Podcast Network, go to LockedOnSports.com. Let's head now to the war room of our number one pick, the Phoenix Suns.
Hello, everyone. This is Locked On Suns here. You have your co-host. My name is Evan Sider, and I have Brennan Klee on the other line. We are on the clock with the first overall pick in the Locked On NBA mock draft, and we are going to go off the grid a little bit. We're going to take Luka Doncic, number one overall, instead of DeAndre Ayton. And we believe, Brennan and I, the two GMs in the war, and we believe that Luka Doncic separates himself because not only does he bring the versatility needed on the offensive end, but he also brings just a unique blend of versatility that we were looking to build our roster around, and it seems like GM Ryan McDonough has been trying to build his roster around for the past couple of years. So to me, I think it's a pretty easy decision to go in the direction of Luka Doncic over DeAndre Ayton, just because we believe he fits that versatility mold a little bit more. And honestly, Brendan, it came down really to just Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton for us, right?
Yeah, pretty much did. And I think the thing I think about most, too, the last few days, kind of with the Suns bringing in all these big men, and those kind of, those guys dominating the top five is, you know, we don't know what the league will look like in a few years, but just the fact that Doncic is really the only wing available in the top six, seven picks, that kind of is really important too. I think something that gets overlooked. So the Suns are able with this pick taking Doncic, like we're assuming they will. That might not be what they actually do, but they get that flexibility that you mentioned, which other teams in the top 5, 6, 7 won't be able to do with these other bigs kind of populating the rest of the top of the lottery.
I agree with you, and that's really why we went with Doncic number one, because the big need on the roster outside of center is the need for a point guard and a primary distributor. We believe Luka Doncic can fill that role long term, but we also believe his fit alongside Josh Jackson, Devin Booker allows him to be more of a secondary ball handler, really taking some of the pressure off him. So it's really a great fit all around offensively for the Suns. But defense, we'll have to hit free agency and trades pretty hard as far as filling out the defense of the roster goes. But on the Suns' point of view, we believe that we didn't have any trade offers. We weren't making number one pick available because we believe that Luka Doncic is a tier above everyone else in this class, surprising to everyone else. We believe he's number one overall by far, even over DeAndre and Jaren Jackson, Mohamed Bamba, etc. But overall, I think just your final thoughts on the pick, Brendan, because for me, I think the Suns, me and you were obviously doing high fives in our war room.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like I said, doesn't seem like it's what the Suns are going to end up doing. All things are kind of pointing to Ayton. Even Jonathan Givony at Draft Express ESPN wrote today that it's all but locked up or something along those lines, so this might not telegraph what the Suns actually do, but thinking about the priorities that they have to get that primary playmaking, create that versatile roster that McDonough's talked about for years now, and really, I mean, too, to bring a playmaker, an exciting brand of, you know, passing movement basketball that the Suns used to really be known for with Steve Nash and all the famous guards that have come through Phoenix. So bring some of that back and really top off the roster with somebody who can grow with the rest of the young core.
Agree with you there, Brennan. We also believe the Igor Kokoshkov connection plays a really big factor because we believe Igor is going to be able to develop Luka correctly compared to other teams in the lottery. And we have the confidence in Igor of taking him to the next level alongside Devin Booker and Josh Jackson. So It was a pretty easy choice for us. We're going to lock in Luka Doncic to the Phoenix Suns.
Well, holy cow. The Locked On Podcast Network mock draft starts out with a surprise right away. Luka Doncic going number one. Igor Kokoschkov gets his guy who he played, who's the head coach of the Slovenian national team when they won it. And Doncic becomes the number one pick of the draft in our Locked On NBA mock draft of the Phoenix Suns. Let's head over to Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated and see what he thinks of this early surprise in our mock draft.
Luka Doncic is probably the, you know, by most regards, the most NBA-ready player in this draft. I mean, he's effectively been, you know, in AAA, right? You know, playing in Spain at a very high level, playing in the EuroLeague at a very high level, winning, you know, winning everywhere he's gone at a very young age. So, you know, taking him first, I think, is justifiable. I think you're drafting him in part for the floor. You know that you're going to get a good NBA player with him. You know, there's talks that the ceiling may not be as high with Luka relative to some of the other bigs, you know, given he's not a great one-on-one creator, not an elite athlete. And I think those concerns are justified. But I think for the Suns, he does fit with what they need. You know, they do need a lead ball handler. Even though DeAndre Ayton may end up being the first pick, I think is, you know, very much a consideration there. I think it's justifiable.
The criticism of him, how concerning is that? Like, worst case scenario, he really isn't athletic enough to beat NBA players. Then he's who?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think even if he never gets that element where he's breaking down off the dribble, I still think he can be a very, very, high quality facilitator. I mean, you can look at, even Lonzo Ball, for example, isn't a guy who's really a guy who's an ISO player. He's not really a guy who's breaking you down. You know, he'll shoot a step back and shoot the three. Luka sort of has that same type of deal, not perfect comparison, but that's someone who I point to where, you know, he does set the tone for your team in terms of moving the ball, unselfishness, playmaking. And I think, you know, your hope is that you'll get some more guys to fill in around him. You know, I think if Luka is your second or third best player, you might be really good. But if he's your best player, probably a little bit more room for uncertainty.
The war rooms are scrambling already. A surprise by Evan and Brandon in Locked On Suns land as they go with the European, with the number one pick of the NBA draft. Sacramento has the second pick, followed by Atlanta, Memphis, Dallas, and Orlando today. And now they all start to scramble a bit. Is this good news or is this bad news to them on how this has taken place? Sacramento Kings are on the clock. They, for the first time seemingly ever, had a good lottery day, moved up to the number two pick. Let's head over to Sacramento and into their war room to find out what their reaction to the surprise with pick number one is.
And welcome into the Sacramento Kings War Room. Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations Charles T. Hamilton and I, intern General Manager Matt George. It's an internship. It's an internship, but the man I serve under is a bit under the weather today. Yeah, so I'm taking over. We are making the call here today.
Kings.
But we're reeling, man, because Luka Doncic, the guy that both you and I wanted, the guy that both of us expected to be here in Sacramento, taken by the Phoenix Suns, is our decision as easy as DeAndre Ayton slid, and we have to take him.
I think so. We're a little upset, but the bottom line is we have to get over it. There's no time to mourn this loss of Luka Doncic to the Suns. We have to figure out who we're going to take. DeAndre Ayton, I mean, he's the second guy I had on my board. It feels like that's what we're going to have to do. We might take some trade calls, see if there's anything worth it, but honestly, I don't think there's going to be anything worth it at this point. It's got to be Ayton right now.
See, and now I've been on the phone with multiple different general managers from around the league here, looking at spaces that if we were interested in Michael Porter Jr., which is a name that we have heard floated around us a lot. If we were to take him, I don't necessarily feel comfortable taking him at this spot number two overall. I couldn't find any deal to get done that made sense. Ultimately, we are in a power position here with the number two pick, and with this being as strong of a draft as we expect it to be, number two overall is extremely valuable. We already have a curveball thrown at us with Luka taken by Phoenix, and ultimately that hurts us the most in the area of our biggest need, Chuck. You and I both knew that the small forward position is one of the biggest holes on this roster. However, in taking DeAndre Ayton, if we decide to go that direction, he fills another big hole at the big man spot that, quite frankly, Willie Cauley-Stein hasn't been able to fill yet.
No, he hasn't. And Ayton's good enough that even though we do have Willie Cauley-Stein, who's been promising, he's been serviceable at the very least, Kosta Koufos. We have centers, but Ayton's just too much of a talent to pass up. We can't say no and overdraft someone like Porter, who, and look, if there's a wizard doctor out there who can guarantee that his back's fine moving forward, I would fight. I'd be standing on the table for Porter Jr. right now. But the bottom line, it's not out there. So we're not going to be able to take him at this spot. Like we talked about with the trades, there's not something worth trading down for at this point. It's also a gamble. We've wanted this one of these top picks for a long time. We've been in the lottery for 12 years. We finally won, in a sense, to get up to the number two pick. We just can't play around with it. We have to take the best guy available, and that's DeAndre Ayton.
Unfortunately, as of right now, it doesn't feel like we're getting our dream scenario, which was bringing Luka Doncic in. Another scenario that I threw out there that I tried to get into conversation with the Orlando Magic, but they weren't having it, was the idea of taking their pick, giving them the number two, and then also acquiring Aaron Gordon, mm-hmm. a sign and trade deal. Couldn't get that worked out. So with this number two pick, now we have the decision of who we're going to take. I don't think there's any way, even if we picked up the phone right now, we're getting Phoenix to let go of Luka. That was their guy, and they're clearly in love with him enough to snub DeAndre Ayton.
And that's the other thing. We can still make trades after the fact, you know, but at this point, Ayton is the most valuable asset out there, and we have to take him.
Is there any reason to consider Marvin Bagley at this spot?
Not when Ayton's on the board. If Ayton, for me, not at number two. Ayton's on the board. If Luka was on the board, that'd be the pick. I'm just not as high on Bagley as others. It just doesn't seem to make sense for me right now. If it's Ayton, between Ayton and Bagley, I'm taking Ayton.
Well, hey, man, there's a reason why a lot of our scouts and a lot of scouts around the league considered Ayton to be the number one overall pick. Ultimately, Phoenix went with their gut in taking Doncic. I think are we in consensus? We're going to make the safe pick?
Absolutely. Even though Luka's our number one, Ayton's the number two, obviously, and we should be ecstatic about it.
All right, you heard it here from the Sacramento Kings War Room with the second pick in the 2018 NBA Draft. The Sacramento Kings are taking DeAndre Ayton.
Well, this mock draft will lead to a lot of talk on the Reddit AMA of how you could flip these number one and two picks, or maybe just DeAndre Ayton. Is that an incredible steal for the Kings? They'll talk about it on the Reddit AMA 2 o'clock Eastern today. Let's see what Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated thinks of this pick.
In my eyes, DeAndre Ayton is the best prospect in the draft. You know, he's been number one for me all season. I think at 7 feet tall, with his freakish athleticism, his strength, that body, it's very hard to pass on that. So I think if you were to fall to number two, it'd be great value. You know, I think there's reason to be optimistic about his skill set. You know, he's a good passer in addition to being a guy who can finish around the rim, will dunk everything, will catch lobs, can step out and hit a jumper. There's hope that, you know, he'll become a consistent three-point shooter. I think the main concern with him is just making sure that you develop him in a way that his defense comes around. And so he's not a total, you know, problem on that end. But I think with his athletic ability, you know, I think he's coachable. I think you can get him to do that and at least be passable. You know, he's not a stiff, you know, he can move. And I think that'll end up working in his favor.
I heard somebody, might've been you, say DeMarcus Cousins without the sideshow. Is that possible?
That's an interesting comparison. I think in terms of just net, maybe, you know, statistical value, you know, sure. I think stylistically they're different. You know, Cousins is more of a guy who's a bully. Ayton may evolve into that, but, you know, sometimes he relies too much on the jumper. But I think if you look at their skill sets and the way they've been able to impact their teams, I think, yeah, that's a fair comparison. I think Ayton can be a better defender than Cousins. You know, he's probably a better shot blocker, can become that. He's a better athlete. He can get up, and he's not built as heavily as DeMarcus. You know, DeAndre is a very lean athlete for as heavy and strong as he is.
Two picks in, already surprises. DeAndre Ayton, the freshman out of Arizona, averaged 20 points and 12 rebounds. That incredible base. He shot 34% on his three-point attempts, only took 35 of them. He's got all sorts of skill. He's heading to Sacramento to couple up with De'Aaron Fox. They've got a neat combination. Luka Doncic goes number one to Phoenix. The 6'8", 228-pound playmaker, the most prolific young European player in the history of the game, and he goes number one to Phoenix. On the clock right now are the Atlanta Hawks, followed by the Memphis Grizzlies, then Dallas and Orlando. Everyone anticipating Atlanta to go Jaren Jackson Jr., but they also now have Marvin Bagley on the board. Trey Young, Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter Jr. are out there. Let's head to Brad Rolen inside the Locked On Hawks war room and see what the Hawks do with the third pick of the draft.
My name is Brad Rolen. I'll be drafting as the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast for the Atlanta Hawks. And as the team is in the middle of a rebuild right now, there aren't a ton of just overall needs. It's basically just best player available for Atlanta at the number three pick. And honestly, it'll be the same later on in this draft whenever that arrives, because of the fact that the Hawks don't really have a ton of primary assets right now. They have a lot of solid kind of pieces. You know, John Collins and Torian Prince especially are two guys who stand out as members of the future facing Atlanta Hawks, but at the same time, no glaring individual needs because of the fact that they're just so far away right now. In terms of just dream scenarios, you know, Luka Doncic being off the board in this scenario is something that is tough, because, you know, Doncic is my number one player overall in this class, and that has to be said. But, you know, I sort of on cue, he went number one overall in our draft, and as a result of that, it's kind of making a very difficult decision in Hawksland. Without the top two guys on my board available in Doncic and DeAndre Ayton, it comes down to a decision between big men, honestly, with Jaren Jackson Jr. of Michigan State, Duke's Marvin Bagley, and potentially even Texas big man Mo Bamba. That's kind of the next tier for me. There is some consideration of Trae Young out of Oklahoma just because of offensive upside. And frankly, in Atlanta, there's not been a ton of sort of that flashy offense first kind of player in recent seasons. Even when the Hawks were very, very good in the recent past with Paul Millsap and Al Horford and company, they never had that dominant number one kind of scorer type. And as a result of that, there is some allure with Trae Young to the point where the organization definitely is interested in him. In terms of, you know, trade scenarios and things like that, there were a few discussions to be made, only because, and you know, from my standpoint, there was some value in looking to trade back a slot or two in this class because of the fact that I have a lot of these guys sort of rated evenly, and because the top two guys who I have sort of in their different tier were off the board here. There was some discussions, but nothing went terribly far down the line in terms of what actually would have been satisfying for me, because of the fact that the Hawks do have a lot of picks in this class. They have four picks of the top 34 in this draft, and then two more picks for 2019 in the first round, so plenty of draft capital there, and as a result of that, didn't really have a ton of reason to move down in this class without some sort of an overwhelming offer. In the end, though, the pick came down to a direct decision between Marvin Bagley III and Jaren Jackson, and by the skin of his teeth, we will take Jaren Jackson Jr. out of Michigan State. Basically, it comes down to what you value, honestly, in these two prospects. Bagley has the probably higher offensive upside, and that, as a result of that, there was some definite sort of pull in that direction because of the aforementioned issues there. But, you know, as a tiebreaker of sorts, Jackson Jr. is a better fit with John Collins moving forward. Bagley's defensive issues are considerable, in my opinion. And simply put, Jaren Jackson Jr. is the best defensive prospect in this class. He's the best defender in this class right now. There are some arguments to the contrary when it comes to Mo Bamba and his 7'10 wingspan. But Jackson, you know, 7'5 wingspan, a guy who's already a polished defensive player, a fantastic rim protector who can also defend in space offensively, has some ball handling ability, has the ability to shoot the ball at a high level, shot almost 40% from three at the college level, and is a sort of a prototypical 3-and-D big man. Probably won't be the flashiest pick in the world. I don't see Jackson necessarily as the number one kind of, you know, all-encompassing offensive option, but given his defensive profile, you can definitely see him becoming an all-defense type of player in the NBA. And if you throw in, you know, high-end shooting and some creation as well, it is very, very easy to see why Jaren Jackson Jr. would be a very obvious pick in a top five in this class. So it came down to the wire, to be sure. There is not a ton of separation in this class between the guys picking, you know, 3, 4, 5 in our particular scenario. But the Atlanta Hawks will be taking Jaren Jackson Jr. He'll look great alongside John Collins and sort of in that mold of the guys who are no longer around but used to be sort of the cornerstones in Atlanta, and Al Horford and Paul Millsap. Defense first, very, very, very fundamentally sound, and a very intriguing prospect with a ton of upside, who happens to be arguably the youngest player that could be considered in the first round. So Jaren Jackson Jr. will be joining the Hawks, and we'll be back on the clock at number 19 overall.
And even the Hawks will do it for a third time on the same night when they pick 30th in this draft as well. Jaren Jackson Jr. out of Michigan State. People Some people think he's the best talent of the draft. 6'11 with a 7'5.5 wingspan, a 9'2 standing reach. At Michigan State, he averaged just 11 points and 6 rebounds a game. He took nearly 100 threes and hit almost 40%. Let's hear what Jeremy Wu says in his breakdown of Jaren Jackson.
There's talk that Jaren Jackson could end up being, you know, the second best, third best, maybe even the best player in this draft, and I think that's legitimate. If you look at his profile, you know, being one of the youngest guys in the draft, not turning 19 until September, I mean, that's not, you know, something you can undersell in terms of just development curve. You know, in 3 seasons, he'll be 21, right? And right now, Jaren Jackson at 18 is nowhere near what he'll be. I think in terms of 2A potential, you know, there's not a better or at least it's not a more clear prospect at the top of the draft. You know, he'll block shots. He can move. He can probably switch on to bigger wings. So he has the defensive versatility. You know, he can hit an open three. I think his offensive game will sort of develop with time. I think it's just a matter of, you know, fleshing out that skill set. But he's a very attractive blank slate in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, there's some criticism about, you know, why didn't he do more at Michigan State? But every player is different. And I think, again, we're drafting for the future. We're not drafting for what just happened.
Do you have a player comp on him you think's most likely?
One interesting thing I had for him was like a Rasheed Wallace, in the sense that, you know, he can space the floor. He'll step defensively. You know, Rasheed is obviously a guy who's sort of hard to compare people to, sort of his own guy. But I think in terms of the inside out potential, I think you could say, you know, maybe that's something you can do, you know, maybe without the technical talent.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great breakdowns from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. So we've already had 3 picks in the books. We had an opening surprise. Locked on NBA host Josh Lloyd, who every Monday takes you to the biggest stories from the local experts. And then Jake Madison, who brings you Wednesday's edition of Locked on NBA, are both standing by to analyze what's taken place so far in the Locked on Podcast Network 2018 mock draft.
Thanks, David. Jake, interesting first 3 picks here in the mock draft. Luka Doncic going at 1, DeAndre Ayton at 2, and then Jaren Jackson at 3. Personally, I'd have no issue with the way that that draft order played out. I would have taken Doncic at 1, but there are some players who are being rumored to go in that spot who have slipped. What did you think of the overall top 3 picks there?
Yeah, you know, you've got to like the decisions made here by our GMs of these teams. Doncic seems to fit with what the Suns want to do. He's on their timeline. He fits in the backcourt, can play off ball, and as well as be a creator. So I kind of like that overall. It sounds like maybe that's not what's going to happen in real life, but, you know, you can't really knock any of these first 3 picks and the decisions they made.
Yeah, a guy like Jaren Jackson at 3, some people might think, oh, that's a little bit high there, especially with guys like Marvin Bagley and Trae Young still on the board. But with what Jackson can do defensively, his ability to shoot the 3 offensively as well, it sort of fits what we want a modern big man to do. He can pair well with John Collins as well. So I really like the way those selections have panned out, but it does open up the rest of the draft with some of these guys who are projected to go quite high. You know, we're hearing talk of Bagley going at 2 or 3. We're hearing talk of Michael Porter jumping up that high, of Trae Young going in the top 3, and all those guys are still available here in our mock draft. So lots of stuff happening. In terms of when we're looking at the top 3 picks, though, Jake, these teams shouldn't really be looking in terms of fit. So you can say Sacramento picked 8, even though they've got Cauley Stein and Labissiere, but that shouldn't be something that's coming into their consideration. And, you know, our GMs aren't looking that way, which is great.
No, you've got to go off talent. Yeah, there's like a glut of kind of 4s, 5s up at the top of the draft, but you need to get these revolutionary talents. That's what I'm thinking of right there. And Ayton's one of them. I think he would fit in the Suns too and what they're trying to do. But yeah, you know, Scal and those other guys there in Sacramento, those are not going to step in the way from one of these guys stepping in and playing right away.
Thank you very much, Jake. Thank you very much to Josh as well. We'll check in with them throughout the day on our Locked On NBA Podcast Network mock draft. Memphis, Dallas, and Orlando still on the clock for you. Let's head out with Memphis Grizzlies now on the clock. We are getting word of trade rumors beginning to float. Chicago at 7, evidently actively involved. We're hearing the Clippers, who have the 12th and the 13th picks, are looking to move one of those picks. We'll see if any of those things happen as the draft goes on. Utah is evidently in deep talks with Charlotte to try to move up and move higher on the board in the draft as well. So we'll keep an eye if any of those take place. But with Memphis on the clock right now with the 4th pick, let's head over to Peter Edmondson in the Memphis Grizzlies War Room.
Hi, Peter Edmondson from Locked On Grizzlies here in Memphis. And I got to tell you, we are
dismayed at the way this draft has gone thus far, with our really top three guys all going off the board in not quite that order, but roughly 1-2-3 order, with Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr. all off the board. So that is that's a blow to us here in Memphis. But the Grizzlies do have quite a few needs, and you know, chief among them is talent, game-breaking talent, superstar talent. Of course, would be nice. That may or may not be possible with this pick, but that is certainly very important, and it continues to be an issue: scoring and wing play. Now, the Grizzlies could certainly use almost everything across the board. That's what happens when you're coming off a 22-win season. But we think that we've got some okay young bigs, and I think scoring is probably the situation that needs to be addressed most of all. In creation would be nice, shot creation, play creation, that sort of thing. I think it would have been nice for us had Luka Doncic dropped, as seems to be the case in a lot of the mocks that were out there, but that didn't happen here, so we're disappointed about that. It would have been a nice combination of size and creation and all that. We like Jaren Jackson Jr. because we felt like he could create a little bit, but more importantly, he was able to switch, play defense at a really, really high level, while also, you know, giving us opportunity to spread the floor and play, you know, five out almost, which needs to be done. We need to sort of start transitioning away from the offense that we've been using for a long time here in Memphis. So that didn't happen either. Thought about Marvin Bagley, tremendous player, very productive. But at the end of the day, does he represent where we want to go with this team? We've talked and we thought internally about trading down, but never really had any major bites at teams wanting to jump up to four. I think a lot of teams expecting the talent at this point, it's a little bit muddled. So if you like somebody, chances are they're going to slide a little bit in this draft. So kind of taking all that into consideration, trying to figure out where to go. At the end of the day, we've decided to settle on, and we don't think it's settling, for the record. We think it's a big-time pick. Trae Young out of Oklahoma is going to be the fourth pick of the draft to your Memphis Grizzlies. And we take Trae Young for the reasons that I've laid out. You know, he is unquestionably the best shooter in the draft, particularly off the dribble. And we are aware that he took some really jacked up shots in his college career. But we think a lot of that was situational. A lot of that was based on where he played, who he was playing with, the situations that he found himself in. And if you take some of those threes and you take the really bad ones out of the equation, the guy shot at a very high percentage. There's no question he's got the quickest release, not just in this draft, but in probably the last several drafts, going all the way back to Steph Curry, and his release will rival Steph's a lot of times. We'd like to see him get that release point a little bit higher, but we're very happy with the fact that he can get that shot off against anybody. And I think his size is not ideal, but especially playing alongside Mike Conley, we're going to have a small backcourt, no doubt about it. But there's going to be really, it's going to be a backcourt that's very hard to contain. A lot of passing, a lot of shooting, a lot of dynamism, a lot of scoring, and a chance to kind of turn the page when Mike Conley's career starts to fade a little bit. So that gives us a little long-term planning. We're concerned about the defense, but we think in the modern NBA, we can handle a guy that's 70-30 offense-defense. And we're going to live with that because he's the best shooter, arguably the best passer, and he's already stronger. We love his workout. We love his work ethic in the offseason. We think he's going to be really good. So we're excited about this. This has superstar potential written all over it. It's kind of a boom or bust pick, but we like where we're at, and we've got some new assistant coaches that are going to be into player development. We want to see what happens when this guy gets properly developed. Trae Young, the newest Grizzly. I'm Peter Edmiston here from Memphis on Locked On Grizzlies.
Well, this has really been fascinating. The Phoenix Suns, in the first pick of our Locked On Podcast Network mock draft, stunned the world taking Luka Doncic. Then we get Sacramento's war room and draft headquarters feeling as though they wish they had Doncic. Then Atlanta says the same thing, and Memphis says the same thing. So here we are, four picks into an NBA mock draft, and the surprising number one pick by Phoenix, and yet two, three, and four all, as Peter said, dismayed to not get the guy they wanted. Memphis gets Trae Young. Jeremy Wu gives us the breakdown on him.
Trae Young is a guy who has sold teams on his talent. It's unlikely he falls out of the top seven or eight picks. He definitely has a lot of fans around the league. I think the playmaking, the deep shooting, again, it's hard to not think about, you know, the way that Steph Curry has sort of empowered Golden State to play that way. I think it's unfair to compare him, you know, to Steph. You know, anytime it's a guy that good, it's unfair. But if you look at Young's skill set, I think the hope is that I can sort of build an offense around him in the same way, where you're spreading it out, you're running pick and roll, you're getting him, you know, open looks, you're getting him in ISO situations, you're letting him use ball screens, and you're hoping that, you know, his offensive contributions outweigh whatever he gives up defensively.
And how much of a concern is the defense?
I think it's a very fair concern, and I think that's sort of how, you know, some of this risk is built in. You know, he's not a very big guy. And traditionally, you know, the NBA now, it's like you see these bigger, stronger guards succeeding, but there's exceptions to every rule. And again, you can look at a guy like Steph Curry, and you can look at a guy like Steve Nash, even, you know, who are not imposing players, but, you know, their ability to really anchor an offense totally, you know, on some level has gotten rid of some of the defensive concerns. So now the concern there is, well, those guys are both hit the very high end of their potential. So I think you can see that there's risk, you know, if Trae doesn't become, you know, a real star. But I think it's a worthwhile gamble if you need an offensive spark.
Well, we've got another surprise in our draft as Trae Young goes number four, 27 points a game, four rebounds, nine assists at Oklahoma. But yet on the Ringer NBA draft board, he's just number nine overall. ESPN's, he's similar to that, 36% shooter. He's kind of struggled as the season went on. Kevin Pelton on Locked On NBA last week talked about how at 6'1¾", he really wonders how he'll be able to handle himself defensively. Four picks in. Trae Young goes four. Jaren Jackson went three, DeAndre Ayton went two, and Luka Doncic went one. We have two picks left today on our NBA mock draft. The Dallas Mavericks are now on the board with the fifth pick of the NBA draft. Let's head over to draft headquarters in Dallas, Texas.
Thanks, David. This is Nick Engsted from Mavs Moneyball, and normally I am joined by Isaac Harris from Mavs.com, but today he is out, so it's just me talking about the number five pick. We ended up picking Mo Bamba, sort of a surprise selection for some people, even though Mo Bamba is pretty much mocked to the Mavs every single mock draft that I've seen. The draft above us was really interesting. It went pretty much chalk. Phoenix with Luka Doncic. It makes sense because of their new coach. DeAndre Ayton to Sacramento was just, you know, he's the next guy up. Jaren Jackson to Atlanta has been pretty much mocked everywhere. And then Memphis taking Trae Young completely flabbergasted us. We did not expect that. And so when that happened, all of a sudden, Isaac and I, which we really enjoy this whole mock draft thing. We take it really seriously. We offer so many trades, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those trades that we tried to do and the one that we actually ended up doing later. But we tried, you know, 10 times more trades than we actually made. So when the Grizzlies took Trae Young at four, we went to Chicago and said, hey, we're probably going to pick Mo Bamba. Orlando's probably going to pick Bagley. You guys are going to miss on both of these guys. And so we're offer you the number five pick in Dwight Powell for number seven, number 22, and Bobby Portis. We figured we'd flip Powell for Portis. That's kind of an upgrade there. And then get that extra pick, that 22nd pick. This was before we got back into the draft, which you'll find out about later. Spoiler alert. And so we wanted to get back in the draft in a different way. And so we figured we could get one of Bamba, Bagley, we could get Mikal Bridges, who we're really high on, or even Michael Porter Jr. at seven. We figured one of those guys would be there, and we're totally fine with any of those guys and still get some assets for it. So we decided, we tried that with Chicago. Chicago wasn't for it. They were okay, and they ended up getting Marvin Bagley, which is pretty crazy for them to get him at seven. I doubt that that's really going to happen in the real draft. But we ended up going with Mo Bamba over Bagley, which and Wendell Carter Jr. and Michael Porter Jr., to the chagrin of many Dallas Mavericks fans. They all seem to want Michael Porter Jr. right now. On all, you know, on Reddit and all the message boards and everything, they all seem to want Michael Porter Jr., which I don't really understand. We're not really there, Isaac and I, because of his back injury and because of just the fit. We don't really like the fit, and we don't think that he projects as a player that's going to be anything, I guess, special. That'll probably come back to bite us in the butt. But we think Mo Bamba is going to be an amazing fit in Dallas's system. He, you know, can rim run. He's going to be able to step out a little bit and eventually shoot a three. He can shoot a jumper now. His fit with Dennis is awesome. Dennis Smith Jr. is not the greatest defensive point guard. He's working on it, but for Mo Bamba to be that backup for him is just going to give him a lot more confidence. I made the choice, me as Nick Engstead. I picked Bamba over Bagley. Isaac wanted to go with Bagley, but he let me have the choice. Because for me, Bagley doesn't have... His floor is so much lower, I think, than what Bamba's is. Bamba is going to be a rim protector no matter what. You know you're going to get an elite defensive player. Do we know we're going to get an elite offensive player in Marvin Bagley? Because there are certain things that could happen where Marvin Bagley doesn't end up being a pro level, an all-star level offensive player. And that's what you need him to be. You need Marvin Bagley to be so good at the things that he's going to be good at to justify taking him this high and to justify him making him a focal point of your team and even, you know, the focal point of a team. So it's going to be interesting. I feel like Atlanta would be a good fit for him. Just give him the ball, let him create things, let him do his thing on a team that doesn't have any other creators. But when you have a team like the Mavericks, we're building some stuff here. They're not exactly starting on a clean slate. They don't have a ton of talent, obviously, on the team. They were terrible last year. But we wanted a player that can build on some of the stuff, help the Mavericks in a certain way, and we just love Mo Bamba. Isaac was huge. About a month ago, he came out and said that eventually people will start talking about Mo Bamba after he does his workouts, after he does his interviews. People are going to be talking about Mo Bamba in the top three. And Mike Schmitz and Jonathan Givony of Draft Express just came out recently and said that he is being talked in the top three. So Mo Bamba was a great pick for us. We're really excited about it. The other trade that we offered was we offered the Magic. After we picked Mo Bamba, we were like, man, can we get both? Can we get Bagley and Bamba? We offered the Magic the Mavs unprotected 2019 pick for number 6. Not a swap, just straight up. We said, hey, we'll give you our next year's pick unprotected for number 6. They ended up saying no. So we got Mo Bamba. We're excited about that. We ended up getting back in the draft in another trade, but we'll talk about that after we send it back to David Locke for number 6.
Thanks a ton, Nick. Dallas, heavily involved in talks, as he mentioned there. They may have actually got a deal done. Closer in, we'll see if we hear about that later in the mock draft. Nick sounded very positive about that. Let's get a breakdown on Mo Bamba, the 5th pick of the draft from out of the University of Texas. He comes in at 7'1". He averaged 13 points and 11 rebounds last year. Free throw shooting was at 68%. Makes you wonder whether he'll actually be able to develop much of a shot. Rudy Gobert is obviously the comp on him. Let's hear what Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated says about the 5th pick of our draft, Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba is a guy who obviously has very intriguing potential on the defensive side of the ball. With a 7'10" measured wingspan, he'd be one of the biggest guys in the NBA right away. He can move a little bit. He has an interesting athletic profile. So I think clearly the upside is there for him to become a guy you build a defense around. I think the rest of his game is worth, wondering about. Obviously we've seen the videos of him sort of improving his jumper. We know that he's working on the right stuff. But my question isn't so much skill, but just his feel and whether he becomes a guy he can throw the ball into on the inside. But I think if he's able to hit an open three and if he can finish lobs and has enough of an offensive skill set to where you can use him in a few different ways, I think he's going to be extremely valuable. Bamba is an upside pick. I think there's risk he never becomes an impact offensive player, but clearly he will give you some defensive impact.
Mo Bamba to Dallas might be the first pick of this draft that went as expected. Jaren Jackson to Atlanta seems like that may be expected as well. Number 6 now on the board are the Orlando Magic. They've redone everything in Orlando once again. Let's go over to Philip Rossman-Reich and see where the Magic go with the 6th pick of our Locked On Podcast Network NBA Mock Draft.
Hello, this is Philip Rossman-Reich, the host of Locked On Magic, here to make the 6th selection in the Locked On NBA Mock Draft. Now, the Orlando Magic are obviously a team that is kind of in a little bit of a hole right now, and that's putting it kindly. The team won 25 games last year, haven't been in the playoffs in the last 6 years, haven't won more than 35 games in the last 6 seasons. They've got new management here. They were hired last summer, so this is really their first summer to make changes. They drafted a nice prospect in Jonathan Isaac, who barely played about 27 games last season. They have Aaron Gordon as a restricted free agent, and a lot of high salary guys. Bismack Biyombo at $17 million a year. Evan Fournier at $17 million a year. Terrence Ross at $10.5 million, or $11 million a year. Nikola Vucevic at $12.75 million this coming season. A lot of guys on big salaries that could find it very, very tough to move and, frankly, have probably hit closer to their ceilings. This is a team that is looking for a new direction and looking for new change. And so, quite simply, the Orlando Magic need everything. This is a team that has struggled to defend at a high level for the last 6 years. A team that struggled to score at a high level in the last 6 years. Despite that hot start at the beginning of the season when they went 8-4, they turned out to be one of the worst shooting teams last year and have been a poor three-point shooting team all year, all for the last really half decade, 6 years during this rebuild. So again, it feels like Orlando's at a point in time where they're trying to reshuffle the roster and change everything. It feels like no one is safe. No one is permanent on this roster outside of Jonathan Isaac and this number six pick. There really isn't a quote-unquote dream scenario other than DeAndre Ayton somehow falling to six or Luka Doncic somehow falling to six. Well, maybe that's a little bit more possible. Because Orlando, again, needs about everything. They got to take the best player available in this draft, and whoever that might be would be a good thing. There's been a lot of mock drafts out there. I've done a few mock drafts where Mohamed Bamba fell to six, where I had the choice between Mohamed Bamba and Trae Young, and honestly, I think that would be the most ideal decision for the Magic to make, to pick between the shot-blocking big man who can change your defensive identity and the sweet-scoring, sweet-shooting point guard that can change your offensive identity. Really, what Orlando wants to try and get is a player that will help set their foundation and change their identity in this draft. And that's why I've really targeted Mohamed Bamba and Trae Young in this draft as the two picks that the Magic would most like to have. There's obviously some other decisions to make, too. The big one is Michael Porter Jr., one of the top high school prospects entering college last season, injured his back 2 minutes into the first game, injured his hip in 2 minutes into his first game at Missouri, missed the whole season after back surgery. This kid is extremely talented, extremely good, and could potentially be a superstar if his back checks out. And apparently had an impressive workout in Chicago late last week, and a lot of teams got his medical information there, and we'll get another chance to review his injured back there too. But for the Magic, that decision, while the Magic should take the best player available, the decision on whether to take Porter if he is the best player on the board plays into their decision in free agency this summer. Aaron Gordon is a restricted free agent and is most likely going to get a big, big offer, potentially a max offer from some team out there. It only takes one. Are the Magic ready to invest in Aaron Gordon long term? Would the Magic prefer to have Michael Porter Jr.? Do they view him as a better option? And if you want both, what does that mean for Jonathan Isaac? To me, Michael Porter Jr. is the one guy that you could be really high on, that you've got to know, is he better than Aaron Gordon? And with his health scare, with his health concerns, I'm not willing to make that investment, certainly not with the pieces that the Magic have in place already. I'd rather stick with Aaron Gordon, and that's why I wanted to pass on Michael Porter Jr. So the way this mock draft has played out, and I'd like to thank the five hosts before me for making it play out this way, is pretty much the worst case scenario. There's no Mohamed Bamba, there's no Trae Young, there's no Jaren Jackson. In fact, the Magic are left with probably the two best prospects on the board, honestly, are Marvin Bagley and Michael Porter Jr., the two prospects that I think do not fit what the Magic want to do or want to become in any way, shape, or form. But Porter, perhaps, but again, like I said, I'd rather get Gordon. And so with that being the case, I tried to trade up a spot once I saw how the draft was playing out. That didn't work. The Magic just didn't have any assets that anyone wanted. I tried to trade back a few spots to take the guy that I eventually did take, thinking, okay, someone's got to want Michael Porter or Marvin Bagley. But unfortunately, the teams that I talked to as I began to examine the rosters wasn't a lot I was willing to do. I mean, I talked to Locked On Knicks for a little while about possibly swapping Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bismack Biyombo, but that at the end didn't really get me going either, just because it would mean taking on a whole lot more money, although perhaps for a more productive player. And so I sat there at six and did what I had to do. I took the player that I thought would help the team the most and would fit with the roster that they're currently building. And so I took Wendell Carter Jr. out of Duke. Just a solid overall player. Not a flashy player by any means, but a solid player that can lay a solid defensive foundation, will protect the rim decently, score in the pick and roll, and do a lot of the little things that you need to do. a lot of people are taking to comparing him to Al Horford like it's a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Carter probably won't become the star that the Magic need, and I would suspect that they'll be back in the lottery again next year, regardless of who they pick. But Carter is a guy that can be a foundational piece, or be at least a very key piece to whatever the Magic are going to become. And so I think Wendell Carter Jr. is the best player available on my board, and who I took with this pick at number six. I'm also still trying to trade back into the first round. I've got 2 second-round picks, and so hopefully I'll be back on here to talk about another first-round prospect, because I do think the Magic need to value this draft and need to find a way to get a lot of value in this draft to make sure they get the player, especially if they don't get the player they want at six, to get the player that they want late in, early in the second round or late in the first round. But until that point, this has been Philip Rosenreich of Locked On Magic. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Magic. And follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. The Orlando Magic with the sixth pick in the Locked On NBA mock draft select Wendell Carter Jr. out of Duke University.
That's another stunner right there. That leaves Marvin Bagley III, the Duke teammate of Wendell Carter, on the board. Michael Porter still on the board as well. But instead, Wendell Carter, the 6'10", 4'5"-ish, Antonio McDykes is a comp that he got, a super athlete at a younger age. 14 points and 9 rebounds last year, shot 41% from three, but only took 46 of them. His 74% free throw shooting makes you wonder a little bit. Free throw shooting is usually a better indicator of three-point shooting on the NBA level than actually college three, as weird as that is. Carter will be interesting to see. Let's hear what Jeremy Wu thinks of the pick by Orlando, 6th overall, Wendell Carter Jr.
Wendell Carter is a guy who I think teams are really high on. And they view him as a very safe choice to have a really long career. I think if you had to bet on, you know, a guy in the mid to late lottery playing in the NBA for 10 years, I think he'd be a very safe bet based on his skill set, his competitiveness. You know, he's a very smart guy. I think all those things will work in his favor. He's not an elite explosion guy off the floor. You know, he's not going to dunk over people. He sometimes has trouble sort of finishing in traffic. And defensively, the question is, you know, how much will he be able to defend ball screens and move? But I think it's very clear that a guy with his skill level, size, and smarts will have some utility in the NBA. So I think he's a very high-floor player.
A little bit of mixed messaging there from Jeremy Wu about Wendell Carter Jr. Well, we'll move to day two of our mock draft with Chicago, Cleveland, New York, Philadelphia, Charlotte, and the Clippers on the board. Trade possibilities floating around. And some interesting names still on the board as well. Michael Porter, Marvin Bagley III, Mikal Bridges out there. Who was going to go? Will anyone slip? Before we get any of those details tomorrow, let's go back to Locked On NBA host Josh Lloyd and Jake Madison to hear what they think of the first day of the Locked On NBA mock draft.
Thanks a lot, David. Another interesting couple of picks there in our Locked On NBA mock draft with Trae Young going at 4, Mo Bamba going at number 5 to Dallas, and Wendell Carter Jr. from Duke going to Orlando there at pick 6. I think some people would think there are quite a few surprises there, especially with Michael Porter and Marvin Bagley III still on the board. Overall, Jake, what did you think of that trio of selections?
Yeah, I actually like all of these picks, and the one you can maybe question is Orlando. But look, Memphis needs a go-to scorer. Trae Young can provide that. The early comps for him this past season were to Steph Curry with the way he can create his own shot, with the way he can shoot the three-pointer. I think that's a big thing for them, getting those guys, another guy who can kind of take the scoring load and then grow for that next generation of what they're doing there in Memphis. And, I mean, Mo Bamba's just been flying up draft charts with his the 7'10" wingspan, the longest in combine history. He looks great. You hear this guy talk, and he's such a smart player. You only just see comps to guys like Rudy Gobert, and it seems like he might be able to exceed them if everything works out. So you've got to love that pick. That also throws a big wrench into free agency plans too. So this is kind of the fun time in the NBA draft.
Yeah, exactly. With, you know, so many big men looking to get some contracts, and they may be struggling to get those numbers, you know, getting these big men like Carter and Bamba off the board here in Orlando does make things interesting. It also, you know, what happens with Nick Vucevic in Orlando under this scenario, you know, Aaron Gordon's free agency. But I do like these picks as well. I like Carter as a big man, a modern NBA big man. Bamba can do those sort of things as well. And no issue with any of these selections. I think our GMs overall, Jake, have done a fantastic job so far.
Yeah, maybe Orlando needed more of a score than Carter, and that might have been a good reason for it. But that's a smart player who can pass out of the high-low post situation. I think it kind of adds what they need. And with that kind of weird roster they have constructed there, he's a guy that you can kind of throw in with almost any lineup, and I think it would work.
Yeah, that is a criticism, I guess, that you could have thrown someone like a Bagley in there and maybe have someone you can build your offense around. But the defensive struggles that he has, you know, if you're pairing him with Vucevic, that's a real issue in that front court as well. And that could really limit the ability for those two guys to play together. And not that you're necessarily drafting based on who's already on the team, but I understand getting someone like Carter who can project out, has his some defensive concerns of his own, but can do multiple things on the court. You know, really, really smart pick. And this is the thing with this draft, is so many players are in that same sort of grouping. So great job to everyone so far, even though we could nitpick it for hours and hours.
Josh and Jake, pretty complimentary of their cohorts. What do you think? Talk about it today at the Reddit AMA, 2 o'clock Eastern at NBA Reddit. Discuss the first six picks of this draft. Also, get the latest at LockedOnSports.com. And remember to subscribe to your favorite NBA team's daily Locked On podcast. I'm getting word right now that Orlando is still working the phones desperately, trying to move the contract of Nikola Vucevic. We'll see whether they can do that. Dallas, I believe, has moved into another lottery pick, is the rumor we're hearing. All those stories still coming as we continue on the Locked On Podcast Network. Picks 7 through 12 will be in tomorrow's edition. Thanks very much for tuning into Locked On NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.